and we can get into the call. All right, so peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. If you don't know, my name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host this evening. If this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few ground rules for how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours, but if we have a really good one, you know, we'll extend it. So let me just say in advance, we appreciate you coming to hang out with us tonight. I hope you're feeling inspired because now you're on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together to discuss solutions to many of the problems we face in the Black community in an organized and an intelligent manner. If you notice, when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address one another as such is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we don't discuss religion, we do not discuss the Black male-female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to Black people in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into conversations or arguments about which party did this or which party didn't do that, because these are all opinion-based topics, and no one is right, no one is wrong, or we'll be here going around in circles all night. For all the guests on the call, and we refer to you as a guest if you are not yet a member of this organization or if this is your first time, let me just tell you a little bit about what this organization is. If you haven't watched the blueprint yet, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the Black community is if we do it ourselves and start using the power of the Black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spent $1.3 trillion last year, so if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. This is a form of Black capitalism. Now, no matter how you may feel about the system, it's the only system we have here in America, and any radical ideas about operating outside of this system will just be a waste of precious time and resources. So the best thing for us to do is to learn the rules of the game and get good at playing it. The purpose of this member association is to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the Black community and are motivated to take action. The first thing you need to understand is when you have a systematic problem, such as the one that we have here in this country with the oppression and the injustice, you need a systematic solution. So this organization is comprised of brothers and sisters who are just sick and tired of talking. We're tired of sitting around discussing what we should do and what we could do, but never actually doing anything. So I just want to ask everyone on this call tonight, you know, just ask yourself, when will enough be enough for you? When will you be sick and tired of just standing around and talking and discussing these things but never actually taking action? The overall goal of this organization is to realistically change the economic, political, and social conditions of Black people here in America and abroad, because we do have a lot of brothers and sisters contacting us from Africa and the UK and Canada. So to do the things that we want to do, it's going to take a generation or two to achieve these goals. It will require a sacrifice from those of us who can to do for those of us who can't. We will have to become the quote-unquote elders so that the future generations of Black people, your children, grandchildren, will not suffer the same oppression and injustices that we have today. They'll have it better than us. So we need to put certain protections in place for them now. That includes wealth and political influence. So, you know, to summarize, when I say the overall goal of this organization is to realistically change the economic, political, and social conditions of Black people, it's going to really start with the babies, right? This organization is about building a legacy, building and leaving a legacy for the future generations. This organization is not about self-enrichment. We are about doing something. We're about doing something selflessly. We're about building something and leaving something. The way that we're really going to make a change in the Black community is if we start taking these children, not the teenagers, the ones that are younger than them. So maybe we're talking about the 13 and 12 and, you know, younger, and setting forth examples for them to follow. We have something that's called the Black Code. So it's like a new definition of what it means to be black. And that's like teaching these children that they shouldn't kill one another. They shouldn't steal from one another. They should help one another. We want to implement programs like this all across the country in every major black city. So when these children walk out of their homes, instead of being offered, you know, some drugs or a gun or, you know, some other kind of nonsense, they will be offered a place where they can go and then they can keep being built up in what it means to be black, built up in a new definition of black culture. That is how other organizations, specifically the Jewish community, that's how they remain strong even though this world is moving fast and going out of control. They instill the cultural values within their children from young, and so they don't stray too far when they get older. And that's what we need to do. And in addition to providing that cultural grounding for our children, we need to set them up to take advantage of opportunities in this changing world. So that means teaching them computer programming. That means, so they can self-defense so that they can learn how to protect themselves. Group economics. They need to learn how to do these things at a young age, and they need to learn how to practice these things so that it becomes habitual and instinctual when they become adults. And that's how we're really, really going to change what's going on in America. And then once these children become adults, they're going to need political and legal protections, because there's still going to be some racist white people and some other people who are going to hate. There's going to be people who's going to hate just for the fact that people are going to be looking and be like, wow, these black folks really got their act together. How did they do that? When did they do that? And then so they're going to try to attack them again. So we need to have politicians and watchdogs, just like the Jewish community has. They have watchdogs. You say anything, you can compliment Jewish people. If you do it in the public, they will have the Anti-Defamation League breathing down your neck. And we already know how they get the laws moved around to protect them, and we know how they'll be in our communities and get all the public money and all of these different things. That's realistically what we need. We used to be the second largest population in this country, but the Latinos have taken over us. But we are the largest consumers. We are a really big part of this economic engine in America. And we need to understand our true power. Our true power is the spending power. I see a lot of people saying that economic power is a myth and, you know, all this stuff. Those people are crazy. They don't understand business. America lives and breathes by business. Every single thing that they're doing is benefiting somebody else's pocket. And once we understand that and start playing the game based on those ideas and start saying, you know what, we're going to withhold our black dollars if you guys don't treat us right. And start setting up alternatives for our people, right? Because you can't tell your people just go ahead and boycott, but not give them an alternative. They still need a place to get their socks and their toothbrushes and toothpaste and hair dryers and things like that. So we have to provide alternatives for them. But as soon as we have those mechanisms in place, I'm telling you, the world will sit up and take notice, and they'll realize that we're not playing anymore. Now, to build this, like I said, it's going to take a generation or two. Many of us may not actually live to see it. But as long as we can see the beginning of the wheels turning, it needs to be a system. And as long as we can see the beginning of those wheels turning, that should be good enough for us to lay in our box with a smile. That's how I say it. If I can leave this earth and see that this thing is taking form, see that children are already thinking different and moving differently, then I can leave this earth with a smile on my face. My children are the great guinea pigs of what I'm talking about. Everything that I'm saying, I am living this, and I am teaching my children every single thing that I am espousing that we teach to brothers and sisters nationwide. I am a product of change. I grew up in the same type of environments where our brothers and sisters need this help. And it's just through my own evolutionary process, I was able to change my mind, change the things that I thought about, change who I was to stand before you today as a proud black man, as a successful black man. But I grew up like My grandmother and grandfather, they had 15, 16 kids. We lived in the projects. Our family was so big, they had to knock down a wall between two apartments. I was on the phone talking to my uncle the other day. He was like, remember we had so many people in there. We had one whole closet for dirty clothes and one whole closet for clean clothes. And everybody just go in the clean clothes thing, and it was like a free-for-all. Because nobody had more than a certain amount of, you know, clothes anyway. And I was laughing, and I'm looking how far we have came. And I know that this can be done for anybody else. My grandmother and grandfather, they had 16 kids to feed plus their children's children. So it was about 20-something of us between two apartments. That was just craziness. And, I mean, someone somewhere just was like, my family is really religious. So maybe, you know, my grandmother, she was an evangelist and, you know, and many people in my family that pastors and things like that. So maybe they prayed really, really hard. But somewhere, we got the message that, hey, listen, our current situation does not have to define who we are at the end. And so I know that provided that same type of inspiration, that same type of information to these brothers and sisters living in areas where there's despair, lack of hope, if we can just shine a light, give them a gateway, they too can move on. They can progress. But once they progress, they're going to need protections. They're going to need fail safes because it's not easy, and especially when you don't know. The crack epidemic decimated our community. The reason why I called you all brothers and sisters, because when I grew up, that's what we did. We called people brothers and sisters. You didn't have to know them. You could be, you know, downtown somewhere and see someone you never know, but, you know, y'all just got like that knowing eye because y'all around a bunch of other white people or whatever it is. Like, peace, brother, or hey, brother. That's what I'm trying to bring back. I'm trying to create that sense of community, that vibe here, you know, with Black Wallets Matter. And when the crack era came, then we lost trust amongst one another. That's what the problem is. I mean, amongst, you know, many others, but the reason why we can't come together and build is because people have a lack of trust. When an organization such as this forms, people are like, well, what are they doing with the money? Well, what are they doing this? We provide full financial transparency. So for anyone that's a member, they can attest. You log in, you are able to see where the money comes in, and you're able to see where the money goes out. Another thing, so when we form organizations, we have this model in our mind of what an organization is supposed to look like. So we think that we're supposed to have a leader. I say this all the time. This is not the Brother Lou show. This is for us. When I say, hey, we are looking for founding members, I mean that. I mean people who are willing to help build this thing and set the agenda, because the downfall of all of our black organizations in the past was that there was a head or heads to be targeted. And once those heads were targeted and cut off, then the body died. This organization is determined to be something different. It needs to be a system. So that's why I said when you have a systematic problem, you need a systematic solution. None of us on this call have the willpower to fight the powers that be by ourselves. We have to do it collectively. It has to be unity to do this thing. And then more importantly, it has to be a series of behaviors and interactions that we do automatically on autopilot, right, in order that's going to push us forward. And they need to be channeled. They need it. So it's like water going through a funnel. That pressure is going to eventually bust pipes. And that's what we need to do. But what we need at the core are a group of brothers and sisters who are going to build this system. They have to be selfless. They have to say, I'm willing to make the investment in my people without worrying about the return that I'm going to get. Our membership dues are $10 at the silver level, $25 at the gold, $50 at the platinum. That is a minor investment. It is a minor sacrifice to do what it is that we're trying to do. I'm serious. Many of us, we blow $10. I just came from taking out my daughter for dinner, and I just gave the girl a $10.12 tip. That could have been, well, I mean, I contribute to Black Wallets Matter, but I'm just saying, like, that's how we spend that type of money. And this money needs to be pooled, and it needs to be harnessed, and it needs to be focused so that we can build this selfless system. It would be wrong or irresponsible to ask any single one of brother to accept that burden on his own. But collectively, we can all share in that burden. We can all share in the responsibility. And so what this organization wants to do is have 2,000 founding members. The membership dues that we collect from that, we would be able to hire staff. That's what Black organizations, that's what our people, we don't have. We don't have people who wake up every day and it's their job to go and push the ball forward and improve the Black community. We don't have anyone who has that job, and we want to assign people. Hey, your job is to get up every day and find the bright spots, find areas where our brothers and sisters are doing the right thing, and let's share that and show that to everyone else. Let's learn from people who are making people who are having success, and let's internalize and use those things. We need the room to make mistakes. We need the cushion to make mistakes. We got to be honest with ourselves. We don't know how to do this. We don't know how to do this. When I say do this, we don't know how to build something and protect it and insulate it to the point where it can't be destroyed. So like when we had Black Wall Street, so they built up something, but it was infiltrated and they destroyed it. It was basically attacked. So what we're doing now, we need to build a new type of system, and we need to exploit every single loophole and opportunity that is available to us. Right now, these white people are so crazed and confused, they don't know what side they're on. That's good. Let this dude Trump get in there and cause all this confusion and dissension in the country. Let's mind our business and get our act together, and then all these white people who say they want to do this, da da da, let's take whatever resources we can from them and use it to build ourselves up. They're running around with chickens with their heads cut off. That's what's going on right now. Everybody is confused. Everybody is mad. Let's use that to our advantage. This is probably the greatest time that we have ever had. We also have technology. We have brothers and sisters from all across this country that get together. This past weekend, I mean, I was like so elated. We were able to help six people over here. We were able to have people meeting in Cincinnati. I'm here in New York or Jersey. We got people meeting in Cincinnati, people getting together in Detroit, people getting together in Houston, people getting together. That's the beauty of technology. You're in your town, you're in your city, and you're saying, hey, I want to do something, and I want to work with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters, but you can't find someone in your local area. There's a very, very strong chance that we can. I had a brother call me, I believe that was Sunday night. He said, hey, what about Tuscaloosa, Alabama? I said, Tuscaloosa? I said, well, let me just send out the email. Let me see. And we got two people who said, hey, what's up with the Tuscaloosa people? That's the power of what we have. But we have to build it. We have to build it. It has to be in place. And then once we build it, then it will grow upon itself. Let me just give you an example. What a group of brothers and sisters could do. This organization is focused on addressing three things. We are focused on addressing Black poverty, which affects over 70% of single Black mothers. We are focused on addressing Black unemployment, which affects us at more than 50% compared to whites, which affects them at like 9% or something. And then this recent wave of racially motivated police brutality, where these officers are just going out there killing our unarmed brothers and sisters, and there is no recourse. That nonsense just has to stop. The way that it stops is through lawyers and lobbyists. That's what it stops. Applying a lot of pressure a lot of pressure on the Justice Department, on the Supreme Court. There are laws that are on the books for our protection right now, but because we do not have the money to allocate towards lobbyists and lawyers, they are just ignoring this stuff. And other organizations are using these same laws for their protection. I dare you say something or do something to a gay or Jewish person. They are using the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment to protect themselves. Those laws were originally put on a book for us. It's just that they're hiring their lawyers, their lobbyists to go ahead and enforce it. And then now they have this thing called these Koch brothers, they did this. I forgot the name of it. But they're basically saying that corporations and companies are now people, and they are afforded protections and things like that under the 14th Amendment. This is how the NRA is the most powerful lobby in the freaking country. Our folks, they don't want to come off the money. They don't want to realize that money is the key. I speak to so many people and they're like, so how can we do this for free? Or it doesn't cost this. Like, everything costs, because they have turned the world into consumerism. They turned China. China was the tightest people with their money ever on the planet. And they figured out a way to turn Chinese people into consumers. We can't fight that. It makes no sense to even fight it. So let's move within the flow of it. Let's start trying to control manufacturing and some of the other avenues, or retail, the distribution. Let's try to buy our way into some of those things. Our brothers and sisters go out there, they spend their money, they buy whatever. We use a portion of that money to reinvest in their communities. That's what the Jewish community does. You go in their community, they have the same stores we have, but the stores are Jewish-owned. The prices may be slightly higher, but the store is contributing back to the synagogue. The synagogue has a yeshiva school. All the kids are going to the yeshiva school, and they're learning Jewish culture. It's a beautiful system, and we need to emulate that. So to give you an idea of the type of money that we're talking and how this thing can realistically be done, Black Wallets Matter has a goal of 1 million association members within 5 years. With 1 million association members, our average, that's 10, 25, 50, the average would be $28 a month, which times a million would be $28 million. Multiply that by 12, you got $336 million a year. $336 million a year in revenue is enough money to get a $1 or $2 billion loan. $1 or $2 billion loan can buy us a large manufacturing plant, meaning we could go and buy all the underwear and sock plants and all of this stuff and sell our T-shirt and underwear to Black folks. Like, that's the kind of manufacturing that I'm talking about. We could go and buy, like, so people like potato chips, and, you know, if you're in the hood, they got, like, some weird brand or something. We could be the people with, like, the tropical fantasy juice and the hood chips or whatever, cakes or whatever. We could go and start figuring out how to franchise corner stores. Just like 7-Eleven, we go and we take that model. In most of our neighborhoods, the ARAs own the stores. If we were to go learn what we don't know, create a model like 7-Eleven, and then offer that as a business opportunity to our brothers and sisters, now we can capture back our corner stores. Same thing with the beauty supply industry. We are the largest consumers in that industry, but we represent a very, very small portion of proprietors. The vast majority of the people who come in, the brothers and sisters that come in that market, they're relegated to only offering natural products, because the Koreans are blocking them from getting some of the hair. They're telling them they can't get the hair contract. So people are playing with us. But if we had the type of money that I'm talking about, that's it. The games are over. Because you know why? Because we could go come up with, now getting the hair, getting any kind of brand hair is easy, right? Because you can get that in China, you can get that whatever. And what we need to do is do a big marketing push to our brothers and sisters, our women who buy those things. Listen, this is your brand. This is your brand of hair. All that model, that Outre, all of that other stuff, out of the window, is your sister brand or whatever. That's really what it would require. So Black Wallets Matter is, we're not a nonprofit organization. We are structured as a B Corp, which is a benefit corporation, right? Because like I said, we're talking about taking our profits and using them for the good of our people collectively. That is what benefit corporations do. They exist for the sole purpose of serving a particular group of people. So that said, Black Wallets Matter exists for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the Black community. Hello? Let me make sure. Hello? Sister Lola, can you hear me?
I am. I'm here.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure because I just heard something on my phone, and I thought I got disconnected. Okay, great. Let me continue. So as I said, so it's structured so we exist for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the Black community. And like I said, with that type of revenue coming in, we could definitely do that. So now once we control these large industries, these large businesses, now we can go around and start working neighborhood by neighborhood, city and town by town, and actually creating change. We can go in and start with these community resource centers. Now we can start teaching these children, like I was speaking about earlier, these Black codes, this new definition of what it means to be Black. We can go and we can do that. In addition, we can teach their parents. We can offer them job opportunities. We can have our men going in and becoming and learning trades again so that they can make money with their hands. They can go in, become electricians and plumbers and welders and you know, put up sheetrock and painters and roofers and all this stuff. People are sitting, you know, most of us are experiencing gentrification in our areas. Well, guess what? Those houses that are being built are going to break down. They're going to need repairs. Our people need to be mobilized to be that workforce. There's no shame in going in there and charging someone $500, $600, $700 to fix their pipes. There's nothing wrong with it. And if we're able to prepare our people to do that, that's fine. That's the start. Because that man who's now making $1,500, $2,000 or whatever a week, he's able to look at his baby and say, hey, you know what? I want better for you. Let me go and put you in this type of school. Let me get you in this type of environment. And then that's how now we have the next generation. We have lawyers and we have lobbyists and we have scientists and things like that. We don't need any more basketball players. We don't need any more athletes. We don't need any more entertainers. Yes, that is our genius. Those of us who truly live that life, who are truly inspired, we're going to have them. We have them in spades. We don't have to worry about nurturing them. What we need to do is nurture the people who can help and build and sustain us as a people. Forward-thinking young men and women. That's what is really going to require. The other thing, we need to stop implanting fear in our children about racism. Because, see, we grew up, most of us got some stories from down south. Oh, they used to do this, they used to do that. And that put some degree of fear and some degree of hate within us. We have to find a new and better way to communicate that distinction, that the understanding that racism exists, but communicate it with power and with strength. We had a sister come on a call last week. She said the same thing, and I said, but how? And she said exactly that. She said we communicate it to them and let them know that racism exists. Let them know that, yes, in the past, we were mistreated and all these other things, but we endured because we were strong. We endured because that's what we are. That's what we do. We survive and thrive. With all the nonsense that we have endured as a people, you still have those of us who have been able to reach the highest levels, of society. We have our Oprahs and our Jay-Z's and our Byron Allens, and you know, we have billionaires. So for those, so those are the things that we need to show our children. We don't need to show them the ceiling anymore. We don't need to implant the fear. We need to show them, hey, listen, came over here as slaves, and look at this. We need to be showing them Barack Obama. We need to be showing them, hey, listen, you can become the president of this country. Politics aside, you can do that. That's what they need to be inspired. No filter, no ceiling on their aspirations. That's what we have to, we have to create it for our own. So, again, like I said, the way that we're going to get there is by making that investment. And again, I said, we don't need any one person to shoulder the burden. It should be a group of us, but we just building the system. The system is a bunch of businesses. That's what America understands. That's how everyone else does it. We set these businesses up. The businesses throw off cash, throw off profit. Now we have a way to sustain these individual community resource centers and things like that. So now our projects can't get shut down when the government decides to cut off funding or they change the rules or whatever. These Jewish yeshiva schools, they never get shut down. You go ride through, you ride through Brooklyn, you right there. So you got the hood on one side of Eastern Parkway. Actually, you got the hood on that side of Eastern Parkway too. You ride two blocks in, man, you got like a big, gleaming, shiny glass building there. It's a freaking yeshiva school. Looks like something out of the future. Right smack in the middle of all these tenement buildings. That's what we can do. We can reclaim our neighborhood while giving our kids some place to go, let them know that people have provided for them. Same thing with their mothers, the fathers, the men who want to be the heads of their household, who are struggling, who are trying to do what they want to do. Man, we're trying to engineer a way to get these brothers some jobs. We have a few brothers that are in transportation. We're trying to get these brothers, and, hey, listen, man, let me help you get your CDL. Hey, brother, get on the road. Go make some good money. Get out of the hood. Get yourself out of harm's way. Go see the country. It's different out there. Every place is not the same. So with that said, we have a lot of brothers and sisters who are interested in forming local chapters. I have people who call all the time, hey, how is this going to help me, you know, and where I am in my local area? You know, so before I was saying, you know what, it's going to take some time because we have not yet hit the 2,000 member mark. Well, we are we're at about 400 members, and we have members, we have these calls, you know, where there's members only, and we're tired of like sitting around and doing nothing. And so the members are empowered to start trying to create change right where they are. If it starts with 2, 3, 4, 5 people, so what? That's good enough. So some of the places that we're talking about chapters, right? So this is called the Ambassadorship Program. We have Chicago, Houston, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Detroit, Denver, Philly, LA, Dallas, VA Beach, Norfolk area, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Minnesota. A sister inquired today about Minnesota. Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina area, and then the brother just called from St. Louis, and I realized that we need to do that. We need to add St. Louis. Those are the areas that we have members that are interested. So what they need to become an ambassador, you need to have two founding members. So you have to be a founding member of Black Wallets Matter in order to form the ambassadorship, to form your chapter. And then those two founding members have to find, recruit two more members so that you guys can create an administrative board. The reason it is set up as such is because running an organization is hard. I have pretty much put my personal business to the side, and I work on this like first thing when I get up. Well, not first thing I get up, but maybe about an hour after I get up until, so it's 9:44 p.m. my time. We'll be on this call to 11 o'clock. So that's more than 12 hours because I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And this is, and you know, other people who are members, they know you can call me pretty much like all night, all day, all night, and I'm working on, you know, BWM business. That's what it's going to require. So although people are saying, hey, we want to have these chapters, I want them to understand that it's not, you know, it's just not going to be the easiest thing to do. But if you have four other members helping, pushing, and pulling with you, then that will make the load a little bit more easier. And then once you guys become members, then the thing, you know, then you would decide what kind of change you need to see in your local area. The vast majority of the people that I've spoken to, they're saying that we need employment. So we have designed a plan where the administrative board, they would go out, they would talk to brothers and sisters in their local area. We have a lot of people on our email list from all across the country. So if someone is interested in joining, we could help them get members. And so that way it can build that chapter faster. Those membership dues would go to helping that community. So people are saying, well, how does becoming a member of Black Wallets Matter help me here in Chicago here? Well, now your membership dues from your chapter goes to help your community. You guys have that. So the more members you guys recruit, the more change you're able to create. Then we also have it where they are able to start trying to create some small-scale businesses where they can pull a few brothers and sisters from off the streets and provide them employment opportunities. Once that's done, now you can broadcast to the community, hey, look, we're making change. When you go and you express, when you go and you broadcast to the community that you are in fact making change, come and see what you guys are about. Once they see that you guys are dead serious and you're not another organization with people just sitting around talking but not rolling up their sleeves, getting to work, they will become members of your chapter. You will have more resources, and that is how the snowball will grow. Proof that this works, Black Wallets Matter started in March at zero. So again, like I said, we have about 400 members now. We have 60-something thousand followers on Facebook and 11,000 associates on our email list. That's starting from zero. And the reason how, because every single person either saw something on our Facebook page, was referred by someone or something like that, and they were like, okay, well, let me check them out. No one has, well, very few people, because there's some people who tried to curse me out and I had to, like, straighten them out. But there's very few people who would have anything, and that would just be me personally. But there would be very few people who have anything negative to say about this organization, because we are doing what we say we are doing. People call me personally and, hey, listen, Brother Lou, I need help with whatever. If I can help them, I will give selflessly. I will give of myself, because that's the vein in which this thing was created. I'm not looking for self-enrichment. I'm not looking to create an organization and go out there and be the head, be a charismatic speaker, and try to get rich. That's not what this is for. This is to create this system that I'm talking about. So when you have a member who has their chapter over here and another person, it's not going to be ran by one person. It's going to be ran by a board, because we don't need heads to be targeted. So that is essentially what Black Wallets Matter is about. If you have any questions, you can press *6. I'm going to put it in Q&A mode. If you have any questions or comments about anything that was said tonight, then you can press *6. But I want to say this. If you like anything that you heard thus far and it makes sense to you, then we are inviting you to become a member. If you want to do something in your local area, the criteria is that you at least become a founding member. Which level you become a founding member, that's up to you. It's whatever your financial situation calls for. But this organization is moving forward. So if you want to be a part of something that is actually working, then, you know, this is where it is. If you want to be a part of something at the beginning stages where we don't have the bureaucracy and the backbiting and the fighting and the nonsense that some other organizations have, then this is a home for you. If you are willing to set aside your differences, regardless if you're a Muslim, a Moor, a Kemetic, an Israelite, a Christian, or that, whatever it is, whatever, if you don't believe we should be called black, I apologize for offending you. If you think we should be called African Americans or whatever, if you're willing to set those differences aside for the bigger picture, because you understand that our oppressors are not making that distinction. They look at you and they say that this is a person of a certain pigment or a certain culture or a certain background, and the baton comes out and they're going upside your head. They're not asking you for your personal distinction. So let me put the call in Q&A mode, and you can press star. Okay, no one has any questions. Okay. All right. Hold on. First, let me, peace, Brother Ron. How you been, brother? Let me see who, okay, well, the questions are coming in now. All right, so we have a few people who just came in. Let me get their names first. Caller from 336 area code. Your first name, please.
Kian.
Kian. Okay, brother, could you help me with the spelling of that?
K-E-N.
I'm sorry?
K-E-N.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, brother. Okay, caller from 612 area code. Your first name, please. Caller
Hello?
From 612. Yes. Your first name, please, brother.
My name's Dennis.
Brother Dennis. Okay, brother. I see you are in the queue. Hold on for a second. And what is your question or comment, brother?
Where is information that you can get in writing or something that says, you know, when you do join, how does that flow? Because I'm in Minneapolis. So how would I, you know, encourage other people to be a part of this without documentation or something that says what's really going on?
Without documentation that says what's going on, everything
I didn't get information that you text, so I'm trying to figure out because I got a little bit of your view of what's going on, and I get emails, but I don't get like information on like how do you join, you know, there a fee, stuff like that. I mean, hear it, but I mean, if I want to regurgitate this to someone else, go ahead.
Yeah, no. If you go on a website there and you click menu, the website is www.blackwalletsmatter.org. If you go to the website and you click menu, you'll see links. So there's a link that says blueprint, right? And it tells you that's what our mission is. So it pretty much, it breaks down in exact detail what this organization is about. And so that is the plan. And then in terms of becoming a member, then there's another link there that says become a member. And then on that page, you would be able to decide if you want to become a silver member at $10 a month, a gold member at $25 a month, or a platinum member at $50 a month. If you become a member and you don't like what we're about, you have a 90-day refund. So that means 3 months from now, you can be like, you know what, Brother Lou, I don't like this. You know, I want to cancel my account and I want all my money back. Because we
so within that, each person that goes underneath me, would they pay $50 too? Or when I gather those four people that you were talking about on this, would they pay $50 too? Or would they be would they be a part of what I'm doing?
No, so Minneapolis is someplace I don't know if we have any people there. But what you would do first thing we would do is find you another founding member. You have to be another founding member. Now, the other thing
is I got four or five founding members that I already have a group here that's trying to do something, the same thing that you're trying to do. So I already have members like that. We're trying to figure out how can we go national, too, and be a part of something else that we can blow this up, because I know Minneapolis has a large disparity here. So I'm trying to figure out, because my people already have, how do we work this out, and how do we actually be a part of what's going on?
Okay, so you become a member. So when you become a member, you will – in your login, in the members area, there will be it will be a link that says ambassadorship program, and then it'll be a download. That is that's the document. Those are the guidelines for the entire that's the document for the entire ambassadorship program, and that
okay.
it breaks it down step by step, line by line, and we can help you. So those other members that you have would have to become founding members of Black Wallets Matter, and then we would have to, you know, and then, like I said, it breaks it down. You become a member, we're going to have, next Tuesday, we're going to have a members meeting where we discuss what I talk with some of the ambassadors, and then you would be able to call me, and I would be able to speak with your group, and we can work all the details out. All right?
Perfect. I'll go to the web.
Yep. All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Sister Sony. Yes.
Hi, Brother Lou.
Yes, Sister.
How's everybody? This is Sony.
How you doing?
I'm good. You had said about us. We operate on a specific group. I can't remember exactly how it went, but you said that this group was for profit, or I forget. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about in terms of the B Corp, not a nonprofit? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah, the corporation, right, or whatever it was.
Yeah, the B Corp.
Explain that to me.
So a B corporation is a benefit corporation. So most people are used to LLCs, C Corps, S Corps. B Corps are a pretty new found a new designation that came about in, I'm going to say, 2011, 2012. And basically what it means is that you are a company whose profits are basically going to be used to benefit a certain group of people. So you're not in profit, you know, you're not making profit to make you or your shareholders rich. Your profits go towards enriching the group of people that you designate. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason why that structure is important is because we need to be able to have the freedom to spend whatever we want on lawyers and lobbyists. Sister Rhonda shared something with me recently, right? So before forming Black Wallets Matter, I looked at all the different structures, 501c3 nonprofits, 501c4s and different things. As a 501c3, there's a limitation to what kind of money you can spend on lawyers and lobbyists. And so they just changed their designation so that they could actually start spending more money. As a business, as a corporation, it's called Citizens United. Matter of fact, I was trying to remember what the thing that the Koch brothers did. The Koch brothers enacted this thing. It's called Citizens United, and it's basically giving companies the ability to act as individuals. And all the research that I've done on past organizations, the way that they're getting things done is through a business structure. But they're using like a bunch of they're using 501c4s, 501c3s, C Corps, LLCs. They're using a whole thing. These B Corps are very, very flexible. They're new. And it serves our purpose, you know, just the right way. But there are certain qualifications and certifications that you have to go through this process, and we're actually still going through them because we're growing. So.
Okay. So now is it paperwork that individuals like I would have to sign off on?
No, you don't have to do anything. You're just a member. You don't have to worry about that.
Okay, well then, how would I be able to prove to somebody that I am a member of this corporation?
You have your member. Who would you need to be proving that to? When you pay your membership dues, you should be getting a receipt with the Black Wallets Matter, you should be getting a receipt and a notification saying that you are paid, you know, into Black Wallets Matter. And if you log into your members area, you should be looking at, you know, well, your personal badge and things like that. That's
okay.
What you, all right.
Okay. So when I look into B Corp, when I look into Black Wallets Matter, then would it have information on the B Corporation? I mean, what?
Well, you can look up. Yeah, you can look for it. But what is? What I'm trying to understand is. What you're saying you want to prove to someone. So the members aren't shareholders of the organization. Members aren't shareholders. Members are members because the business is, this thing is structured not to make profit for the sake of paying back shareholders. It's set up
right.
for the
mm-hmm.
purposes.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what I'm saying to you.
Okay. All right.
Well,
thank
just,
you.
If you're unclear with something, just give me a call and are you saying like you need like a write off or what are you?
No,
what
I'm
you,
not asking for anything for myself. I'm just saying when you're going out in the community and you're asking people ask you all kind of different questions, and I would like to be able to say, well, you know, at least point to where I'm a,
oh, okay. right,
where I'm
right,
a member.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, because it's all kind of scams going on, and I would like to, I mean, I'm okay with it, but a lot of people are really skeptical nowadays. And
no,
I
get that. Yes, I would. So that's the reason for the local chapters, though. That is the reason for the local chapters. But this is a conversation for us to have on the members only call. Cause
okay, because I was.
Right.
I was really thinking that we might be able to just get some membership cards or something like that. Anything that, you know, that somebody could just look at and you could say, well, I'm a member.
Okay.
But we could talk about it on the members line. I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye. Brother Chris B. Brother Chris B.
Yeah, sorry, I had it on mute. Brother Lou, thank you for all that you're doing. I know it's got to be tough to just try and share the vision and then get people on board. Yeah, I've studied some nonprofits, and I think you made a wise choice with the B Corp. You know, it's just kind of a best of both worlds type of situation. And my question is there any benefits besides the feel good of contributing more to the organization? Is there any benefits that come with contributing at the platinum level as opposed to the gold or the silver?
Okay, so initially that was the plan when we started, but we'll have a silver member who will be more active and more passionate than someone at the platinum level or whatever. We will have a platinum member who would be willing to send more money. We have silver members who send money in way beyond what any platinum. So it's really no distinction at this point because many people come in at, you know, so they'll be skeptical and they'll say, hey, let me just dip the toe in the water to see what's going on, and then they may later upgrade. And I don't want to alienate anyone to participate because people come in just at the levels that they're comfortable. Initially, what was supposed to happen we needed 5,000 members, but we were saying we could get 2,000. There were supposed to be different level of perks. But, you know, with the people who have joined us, I didn't anticipate that it was going to take this long to get the 2,000 members. So the people who have joined us thus far, I make everything available or whatever it is. We all share the burdens equally. So if you're thinking about becoming a member, if your financial situation allows you to come in at platinum, then that's cool. If you are, you know, a little bit on the fence, but you want to straddle the fence, then you can come in at gold. Or if you just want to take a little ride and see what we're about, then you can come in at silver.
Okay.
All right.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you for that.
Yep, thank you. Sister Deborah P.
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Yeah, sorry about that. I apologize. I had the mute button on. I definitely want an opportunity to be able to talk with you after this conference. It is refreshing to see and hear the like minds and those that are on the same wavelength about what we have to do as a community. Just as you have been working with Black Wallace Matter, we've been working with an organization that for years that has been putting blueprints together. So there's a lot of synergy that I see happening in our communities and that we can work together in. But I wanted to commend you for what you're doing, because it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of strength. And one of the persons on the line, they said something about how do I know a lot of people are skeptical. We're at a critical point in our community right now. We don't have time for doubting Thomases. We don't have time for people who are on the fence. Right now, those who have an ear to hear is going to hear, and that baby is going to leap in the stomach, and they're going to know beyond a question that this is that which they need to do. This is what our community needs to do. So I just wanted to commend you and make that comment and let you know that I am very interested in speaking with you sometime this week.
Okay, sounds good. Just send me an email and just reply to the email that you received for the notification for this call.
Okay.
And
sounds great.
I'll tell you. All right, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Joseph S.
Is that for me, Brother Lou?
That's you. Yes, that's you, Brother.
All right. Well, good evening, Brother Lou. This is Brother Joseph. I don't know who all is still listening in. I thought I was going to be the first person. You said nobody's here, and I hit it. But it's okay. I got patience. It was good to hear everybody, just like the lady who you just talked to, and I'm quite sure you heard all the accolades that you could probably keep hearing. But I'm grateful that it seemed like we all are waking up to try and do our part, not just for the millennials and the people who are young, but also for the people who probably done lost hope and don't think nothing had ever happened. Hopefully we could prove them wrong before they shut their eyes. But the thing I wanted to ask you is more of a question that I would rather not ask with everyone listening, but what I could ask is, what's the difference? And let me give you the reason why I'm asking. The reason why I'm asking about the question I'm about to ask is because I just founded a nonprofit for the reasoning of helping a Black community. And I want to see from you and your perspective, because I think we need them all, but from your perspective, what is the reasoning for not going with the nonprofit? Because I was kind of like it wasn't a negative connotation to it, but it was like it was a better to do to be instead of the nonprofit. And let me give you the reason why I said that, so you can see where I'm going with this. What you're doing, in my opinion, from listening to you, is collecting money now to do something later. And a nonprofit that I'm starting is to get someone to support what I want to do to bring the answer once I get the support right now. In other words, the program I've already set to go, not to launch, but I'm registered with the state and everything. So once I get the funding, once I get my program plan, that's what I'm working on right now, to get whoever's going to support it, the shareholders or stakeholders, whatever, then it's going to be implemented. So what's the difference between what you're doing to what, because it's kind of like you kind of like didn't want to go that route. And to me, the route that you're going is collecting a certain amount of money in different areas and saying once you reach that cap, then you're going to do something. Am I reading that wrong?
Well, yeah, because we, like I said, that's why we're forming these local chapters. We're So these local chapters are being formed now so that we can start doing work in the communities now. The purpose of going with this structure as opposed to 501c3 or 501c4, as I explained to the brother or sister, I forgot who, is we have so much room to do the things that we need to do in terms of however much money we want to put into politics, however much money we want to put into lobbyists. Like I said, the Koch brothers, a few years ago, they created this loophole called Citizens United, where they created these super PACs, where you can just give tons and tons of money to your political candidate. You can give it to a bunch of them. And you can say, these are the agendas that we want. As a 501c3, you can't do any of that. And then as a 501c4, there's a limit to how much you can do. And then there's so much oversight. So earlier in the call, I said it would behoove us to learn the game and learn to play it well. Business is the game in America. Business is the game of America. All the marginalization, all the things that have been happening, slavery was a business proposition. It wasn't so much that they hated us. They had crops to freaking get. And so slave labor was cheap labor. It wasn't free. It was cheap because, you know, they still had to provide for the slaves. It was a business proposition. It's always been. And we are just not accepting that. So I have I have nothing against you, but all of our people always go to run and create these nonprofits. It's like, but how are you going to keep your lights on, though? The reason why we are collecting money, so you say to, like, collect the money and then do something later, we are connecting and networking so many different people. It takes money to run what we're doing. The marketing, we spent a lot of money on marketing. Like I said, this thing started from zero. This didn't grow to the numbers that it is by magic. It grew that way through marketing. The benefits, someone else asked, so like, what would be some of the other benefits? If you call me and you say, perfect example, there was last weekend, there are a few people who were saying they were interested in opening up beauty supply stores, and they didn't know where to go. And we were able to call someone within our network who has experience in open beauty supply stores. We were able to get some definite numbers of what it would take. And then these people were saying, well, I don't have all that money now. Well, then we were able to call yet another member who was able to help and work with them for financing. That's all within this network of Black Wallets Matter. This is all Black folks helping other Black folks. That's the benefit of what we're doing. But see, if you have a government mandated structure as a nonprofit, there's only but so many different things you can do.
Well, could you give me some of the things that you can't do besides what you were saying
I'll be honest with you.
Later on.
Hold on. I'm not here to dissuade anyone from doing what they're doing. I just did my research prior to launch. I looked at my best thing. I want to be nimble. I like to move fast. This is not going to be for everyone. Again, I see we're running into like a kind of type of thing where people are sitting here worried about what's going to happen with like their $10. That's why the members we currently have are doing it with, we're not waiting for 2,000 members. We're doing it ourselves. This is why I'm coming out of my pockets every month to make sure that this organization keeps the lights on, because I can't sit there and squabble with people who think $10 or $25 or $50, like think someone is going to go run off with their money when I have to go and try to grow this organization bigger and try to put out more and more things to get more people in so that we can have the town halls. Again, like we said, we have the members calls. We're building out this ambassadorship program. There's a lot of things that we don't know yet that we have to try to figure out. So I really want to focus on doing work. I want to focus on rolling up my sleeves, getting to work, and I want people to see the work, and then that will be the proof, and then they'll come aboard later. We're fine with that. We're fine with people looking at us, making progress, so that way they're not even questioning where's their money going, what's happening. They see the work in front of them in their community, and then they'll come on board and say, hey, listen, I want to be part of a winning team. That's the way that I'm looking at it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Now, when did you say you start? When did you say you started this organization?
This was in March.
Of this year?
Yes, of this year.
Oh, okay then. Okay. The reason why I was able to find out about you was through buyblack.com.
Okay.
I think that's one of the ways I found out how you was there. So there is an organization that's been started before then, so I guess that's how I found out about you. But anything that has to do with my brothers and sisters, that's what I try and do to help. But my main goal for right now is that the city that I live in, it's a small city, like I told you, outside the suburb, outside of Detroit, that that's what I'm looking out for right now. So, yeah, and I'm working on getting my constituents or whoever it is who see the vision that I'm doing here to get that started. But at the same time, I would like to know more about what's going on with the founding things and ideas and goals that you have, because I look at it, like I said, we all on the same team. Everybody, even if you said you came up with some Christian beliefs, and you said not to really touch up on it, but I'm a pastor, so nobody can't tell me what I should and should not do. But I ain't going to debate that. But as being a man of God, is that you know in the body of Christ, everybody has their own function to do what they were called to do. Am I right or wrong? So the function that you're doing may not be the same function that I'm doing, but we all on the same team. You see what I'm trying to say? So I want to see what I can do to help what your functioning is, and I would like to know if it's something you can help me do with the functioning that I'm doing. That's why I called. That was my interest, and that's the vision or the reason why I'm interested in Black Wallets Matter. It's not just only what I could do for you, but what can you do for me? Because we all in this together. So that's what I wanted to do, and we can talk about that later, because I do want to talk to you more in-depth, and we can go through the, you know, because we're on the same side. So as long as you can see that we're on the same side, we won't be doing debating or none of that. Because I think we want the same thing in our Black communities. It's for us to have our own, for us to be able to support ourselves and not go by, you know, trusting our oppressors to give us anything.
100%, and I, like I said, willing to put our differences of other beliefs or whatever aside for the greater goal. Absolutely, I'm 100%.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Sounds good.
Just send me an email. Reply to the email for this notification, and we'll set it up.
All right, sounds good, man.
Okay. Great.
All right, y'all have a good evening, everybody. All right.
Brother Darren. Hello, Brother Darren.
Hey, Brother Lou. How you doing, sir?
Peace. How you doing, brother?
Great, brother. Great. Real quick, I'll make it brief. It was really an excellent plan the Koch brothers came up with when you think about it. I've been following that for a while to basically say that Citizens United, that corporations are people as opposed to just being people, in a way to be able to put money where they want to put money and not be tracked as an individual. Really, and really, really smart idea they came up with. Definitely.
Yeah.
Quick question. I don't know if I heard you say it or I might have missed it when I jumped on a call. Before I jumped on a call, did you say that one of the ambassadorships was in New Jersey or New Jersey wasn't mentioned?
No, New Jersey wasn't mentioned. But what part of Jersey are you in?
I'm in Union, New Jersey.
Okay, so you're North Jersey. No, but we do have people who are in, like, Newark and places like that. They just haven't expressed an interest in becoming ambassadors. So, you know, if you're interested in becoming an ambassador, then log into the members area, look over the guidelines, you know, and then, you know, give me a call or, you know, we set something up for you All guys right. to try to get a chapter together there in North Jersey.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan. I like it. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, let's see. Who else do we have? We have Sister Constance. There you go.
Yes, sir. Brother Lou, how you doing?
Yes, all right.
I'm good. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your time and your effort. I am in Baltimore, Maryland, and I am very interested in your ambassadorship program.
Okay, cool. Let me put that on the list because, yes, we do need one in B-more. Hold on. Yep, I have it on the list, so on the next email, it will go out, and I will I'll let some members know. Are you currently a member, sister?
Yes, I just joined tonight.
Okay, excellent. Welcome aboard. Thank you.
We'll
reach through the network. We'll see who's in Baltimore. I know we have a lot of people in Baltimore. The other thing, I was actually speaking to a brother the other day. He's in Delaware, and I told him that the members who are in Delaware and Philly and Baltimore and possibly even D.C. could all probably travel around and support one another because they aren't far apart. Yep, and so that's definitely doable, so we can do that.
Okay.
All right. And all right, I think his brother Troy is on a call, and I think he's in 240, so I think that's like in Maryland. Let me ask him.
Yes, that's
brother,
Maryland.
Brother Troy.
Sir.
Yes, you are in 240. Are you close to Baltimore, brother?
Yeah, College Park, Maryland, about 15 minutes away from D.C., about 40 minutes away from Baltimore.
Okay, all right. So there you go. So, sister, so when we reach through the network, and we have quite a few others, so we definitely would be able to get you at least get you guys that administrative board that you need, because you're going to need at least four people. You're going to need two. You're going to need two founding members to do it, and then if you guys work together and go and find your other two members or however it goes to create that administrative board, that's fine. And then it's just a matter of setting the initial agenda that you guys want. And in the ambassador guide, it outlines some initiatives that should be executed. So, all right?
Okay.
You should be able to download that in your members area.
Yes, I saw it. I logged in a few minutes ago, and I skimmed through the guidelines. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Brother Michael, Black on Purpose TV.
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Hey, real quick, Brother Michael, I want to just let everyone, know about. So Brother Michael has Black on Purpose TV, which, and he'll explain in a moment exactly what it is. But to the other brother who asked, what is the benefits of what we're doing? Perfect example, the other night we had a member called She Creates Black Soap Operas and other types of shows. And she's looking for distribution, and she's looking for ways to get her message out or whatever, because what did she say, brother? What, there isn't black daily soap operas or something like that? So she was looking for distribution, and then I said, okay, well, hold on. And then we were able to call Brother Michael, who has a black streaming service, and we were able to connect those two. And, I'm sure they have to work out the details, but, that's some of the power of having this kind of network where you're able to help one another. And so a lot of us say, I want to support black and I want to do this or whatever, but it's like, well, where do I find the people or how do I do it? Brother Michael was able to help sister, I forgot the sister's name. Sister Lisa. With her show. So I'm sorry, brother. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for having me on the call. I wanted to I had discussed with Brother Lou about Benefits Corporation, because Black on Purpose Television is a benefits corporation that I heard a lot of questions asked, and I was chomping at the bit, but I couldn't come in to kind of bring clarification to a lot of the questions that people had about it. So So, you know, often when we share things, you know, I want to try to make sure that all the information is there, because so that there's real clarity. So if I may, I'd like to do that with your permission.
Sure, brother.
Okay, so a benefits corporation from a legal standpoint is exactly the same thing as a for-profit corporation. So let me explain. A nonprofit has certain tax advantages, and you're able to donate to it, and there is a deduction that can be made that the other person on the other end could receive, right? A benefits corporation does not have that advantage. The benefits corporation, it, the whole premise of it is how it does business. So it's not like sometimes it's referred to, or I sometimes say it's a hybrid between a for-profit and a non-profit. And it is, but not as far as it goes in terms of taxes, as far as donations. So it is still a for-profit corporation, but it is how it does business. Now, non-profit companies, even though they are non-profit, many of them do business like a regular corporation. They may hide under the tax or hide under the codes of a nonprofit to their advantage, but they really function as a corporation, right? And there's many examples of that. So I just wanted to make that clear, and if anybody had any questions about a B Corp or what that means, I'd like to offer clarity, because Brother Lou is doing a great job. He's doing an awesome job. I just want to make sure that everybody's on one accord and everybody has their questions answered. And so, you know, and just by the way, I'm Michael Campbell. I'm president and CEO of Black on Purpose Television Network, and that's blackonpurposetv.com. It's the largest black-owned streaming network in the world. It broadcasts on Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, TiVo, Blu-ray players, and smart TVs around the world. It has over 1 million viewers every single day and is the largest collection of the accomplishments that we do that has ever been formed. Now, Brother Lou and I have been talking about for a while about a collaboration and how we can work together, and I'm looking forward to that because we're operating in different cities as well. So, you know, and I guess we'll make more formal announcement of what that will be as we kind of work out the fine points of that. But we occupy school buildings and renovate school buildings in different cities to be our headquarters, and that's how we function. So I hope I've answered the question. If anybody has another one about it, I'd be happy to share.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you chiming in, of course. If anyone asks another question, I'll direct them to you in the call.
A B Corp, a company can function as a B Corp, but not be an official B Corp. You understand? So you can have in your bylaws.
Yeah, but without the certification.
Well, yeah, in your bylaws, there's special wording, and I can get that to you, Brother Lou.
I have a bunch of different things that I got from my lawyer in regards to setting up. I don't want to make this whole call conversation about that. We have a few people in the queue. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
no problem.
Yeah. But if someone else has another question that they want to direct towards you, I will unmute your phone and let you address them.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Yep. Sister Lola. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Well,
Hello, sister?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was calling. By the way, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. I was actually interested in the ambassadorship program that you have going. I would like to start one in the Pacific Northwest. I think that would be helpful for the organization. And I just want to know, how I become and I find other like-minded people to join with me. Will there be any type of guidance? I would like to be able to articulate your purpose and, what it is we're trying to achieve. Will I have any type of help with that by becoming
it? Absolutely. So there will be, there's the guidelines for how the ambassadorship program goes. There are requirements for the members or for the officers. There are requirements. I will be working personally with the administrative. I will be working closely, rather, with the administrative board to make sure that they understand the vision of this organization and that they have internalized that, and so that they would be able to communicate that effectively to to the people in their community. So, you don't have to worry about that. It's really just a matter of people having the time, one, to actually implement these things, because this is not something, I have very high standards in regards to how things are presented with this organization and the way that I like to execute things. And I would be holding the members of these local chapters by that same measuring stick. And the reason why is because our people are very skittish when it comes to things. They'll judge us more harshly than they would someone else. So if we don't dot our I's and cross our T's, then we'll have like a problem. So that's what we're looking to do. Make sure that we dot our I's, cross our T's. Some of the major hurdles that will have to be overcome is forming this administrative board. So recruiting the recruiting in the two additional people to get them in there, and then try to say, okay, let's all sit down, have a meeting of the mind, and figure out what's the most important thing that we need to do for our community. And so if there are jobs available in your area, then what we suggest is trying to find where those jobs are and then direct them and become a resource for your community, say, where people can come and get, pointed in the right direction to get jobs. That provides immense value, and it's something that four or five people could do. Like, a group of four of you guys would be able to actually do that without needing the help and the resources and the finances of like a large group of people. So that's, those are some of the types of initiatives that we have. But there's guidelines. It's in the members area, and you can look it up and see if it makes sense to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. And we have Sister Kim N.
Hello.
Yes, how you doing, sister?
How are you? This is Kim. Brother Lou. Hello, everyone. I missed last week. I was still kind of sick and under the weather. Did you say that I could go or email you about the information about the beauty supply? I caught part of it, but I didn't catch all of it. Something was wrong with my phone when I went to check my emails. And what was my other thing? What was I going to say? Got lost in the thought. But I guess that's my question for right now. If I remember it, I'll just get back in queue.
Okay. Okay. So, where was it?
I think last week.
Excuse me?
Last week. Right, yep, last week. So if you haven't contacted Sister Shauna, then now would be the time. You can call her, and then you can find out exactly what you need to do.
Okay, now is the number in the I'm going to have to go to my desktop and pull it up for the email. But is her number, her credentialing information, her contact information in the email?
There's a link, yes. There's a link for you to contact her. You would go through the form, you know, give your name and your phone number and set up a time that, you know, that you would be able to speak with her or that you would like her to contact you. And then she would call you and you would let her know what it is that you're interested in, and she will help you from there.
Oh, okay. And my other question was, I've seen that Dallas is on the list for the ambassadors. Are there members there or here in the Dallas area?
So are you currently a sister? I mean,
No. Okay. That's what I'm getting taken care of that this evening. Like I said last week, I was sick. I mean, I've been kind of going through with these allergies, the change of the weather. But yeah, I'm gonna, as soon as I get off the phone, take care of all of that.
Okay, so when we have our next members meeting, hopefully everyone will have had a chance to go through the guidelines. But at that meeting, we will go through the guidelines more in detail, and then I would start connecting everyone, because I'm actually sitting down trying to figure out the way that I'm going to connect everyone so that way they can communicate openly and freely.
Right.
And then, you know, so I'm still kind of like racking my brain, but right now I was just sending out the notification. I have all the emails with all the different places people are saying. I'm adding it to a list, and then, you know, people are just typing back, hey, I'm in Atlanta, hey, I'm in Dallas, hey, I'm in Detroit, whatever, and then I'll go through that, and once I put together the communications channel, then you would be able to communicate with everyone in your local area, and then you guys would be able to find out, you know, how to best proceed from there.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you much. Talk to you again soon. And you said Tuesday. At what time Tuesday for the members call?
All right, so if you become a member between now and Tuesday, you'll get it. Well, Monday night you'll get an email, but it's 9 p.m. It's usually 9 p.m.
Okay, it'd be 8 o'clock here.
Right. Yeah.
All righty. All right, thanks. Have a good night, everyone.
All right, bye. Brother Will, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Brother Lou, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I didn't really have much to say tonight. Just kind of listening in. Kind of got in a little bit late. But I just want to keep encouraging you to keep doing what you're doing. And we're gonna.
You got a lot of feedback, brother. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I'm hearing something in my line, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
I said I just didn't have a lot of questions or anything.
Okay.
Listening in, just encouraging you to keep doing what you're doing, because I know that you're on the right track. And for all those people that are listening, I hope that each one of you have really examined the blueprint and are understanding the vision of the organization. Some of the things that I'm hearing, it sounds like maybe some of us don't really understand the vision. I understand everybody wants to do their thing, and that's a good thing. Everybody wants to encourage you as well to be in business, but the organization of Black Wilds Matter was formed with a specific goal in mind and a specific blueprint on how to reach that goal. So it's so important that everyone familiarize yourself with the blueprint for the organization, and I think that will help you and maybe eliminate some of your questions even. So just want to wish everybody out there peace, and all you members out there that are trying to get your your chapter's going. Wishing you Godspeed, and I'm hoping that everything is going well for you. So that's all I really want to say.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay. So, that pretty much sums up, all the questions. If anyone else has another question, then that's fine. One of the things that we've been asking lately for people who are thinking about doing something in their local community, we're asking them, what specifically would you do in your local community and how would you go about doing it? So if anyone wants to chime in, someone is thinking about, hey, we may want to have a chapter here, wherever you are. This is something that we're struggling with. You know, we want to get these young dudes off the streets and, maybe offer them some jobs, or maybe we want to get these sisters, some type of employment or whatever it is. We have sisters who are saying mentorship programs and, for the youth. Someone else was saying an educational program they wanted to launch. So, my question to you is, what is it that you want to do in your area? What is it that you think you will need, so that we can see if the organization can help or if there's someone within our network that can help. And so you can just press *6. And if no one has anything, then I'm going to pretty much summarize. I'm going to, bring this call to a close. Sister Constance, okay? Yes, sister.
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Lee? The one thing that strikes me when I'm riding around in my community is I'm starting to see a lot of the youth more and more at the gas station asking for money. I'm recently seen a young fella being harassed by the police, and he was on the corner trying to wash people's car windows. And, he was ran off the block, and just how he responded to the police, just educating our youth on how to even deal with the police, that really touched my heart to just like, I don't want to just give them money. I want to be able to say, hey, I have this program. You can come learn a trade. I sat back and thought to myself, how could I help? And the first thing that came to mind is starting a mentorship program and reaching out to people, black-owned businesses, and, asking them to sponsor 2 to 3 kids after school to get them off the streets and let them know that you can learn a trade and you are valuable to your community. So I'm definitely interested in getting our young kids off the streets and letting them know you don't have to beg. And when I see them at least attempting to do something for the money instead of just bagging like pumpkin gas or whatever it is, they out here trying to make money. So it's like I see that the initiative is there. They, are looking for something to do. So that's one of the things that's dear to my heart. And also community garden. I see a lot. I have documented and taken a lot of pictures of certain spaces that I wouldn't mind starting a community garden. That's also a way that we can get involved in the community and some of the rough areas, bring light to some of the rough areas, and also feeding our community and teaching them about nutrition, because most of the kids are growing up on chicken boxes and fries, and that's just not healthy, and it helps to put healthy nutrition in your body to create positive thoughts and stuff like that. So I would definitely focus on mentorship programs.
Okay, so you have the mentorship. So what are you thinking it would take to create something like this and sustain it?
Getting people with businesses already, getting them involved. Going out door to door to see if we can get a program started for the summer. I would definitely want to have something set up for the summer. So, like I said, getting people with businesses already involved with at least sponsoring a child or teenager. And that's the thing, like, with the child laws, you know, and it's certain things that they can do while they're in school. So, yeah, just taking it to the streets. I mean, knocking on doors, saying who would be willing to do that.
Okay. Okay, so we look at the guideline. We have some initiatives that address how to raise funds, how to become a self-sustaining organization, right? So if you use the mentorship, if you go with the mentorship aspect, then your organization is going to have to, your chapter is going to have some type of revenue generating activity in order to sustain that, because mentorship itself doesn't actually generate any revenue. And so this is a perfect example of how Black Wallets Matter is structured. We want to do good, but it's like doing good, it costs money. And so we have to prioritize the revenue generating activity in order to support our social programs. So, like I said, look at the guidelines. And, you know, everything you said makes sense, especially, you know, going out to the businesses, getting them involved is, so the reason why I said, you know, what I'm saying is because you do realize that it's going to take some type of funding, but we've provided some solutions for funding in there. And that's one of the other reasons why we're saying, you know, let's get like this administrative board and, you know, their requirements that members of the board should have, because if you guys are, so let's say if you guys set up, a car washing business or lawn or landscaping business or snow removal or something like that, you can, like you say, you're ready to take it to the streets. If you go to door to door with flyers, like this is the community type of thing. We're employing these young brothers and sisters. We're getting them jobs, you know, $20, whatever it is to, you know, clean your front yard, move your junk, whatever it is, people would be more inclined to support that. Now you have the money to pay these young men and women and keep the lights on in your chapter. You understand what I'm saying? So it becomes a cycle, and the community will be able to actually derive benefit from what you're doing, and you would be able to constantly grow the chapter or sustain the chapter. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. And so, right. So those are some of the things. So, like I said, you didn't say anything wrong. It's just, you know, we thought about that. We when we've been having these member discussions, we're like, well, how do we do that? And so those were some of the suggestions that came up.
Yes, and I see this now as we speak. I'm seeing the it's under the action 1 year plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long-term services, yes. All of that makes sense.
Yeah, and so.
And so, we can definitely, with the community garden, there's money in that as well.
Right, because now you can sell fresh fruits and vegetables to the same. Yep, exactly. And that needs to be put in a revised version, you know, that people have that. So thank you so much, sister.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So, Brother Troy.
Good day, Brother Lou. Troy Moten here. How are you?
Sorry, brother. I was drinking something. It went down the wrong pipe. I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing well.
Okay. I just wanted to share my experience and some of the stuff I've learned real quick, and just that I've been looking to network with people like y'all for a while now, just after reading Dr. Claude Anderson's Powernomics and coming across Boyce Watkins' Black Business School, and just was just attended the All Black National Convention in Louisville, Kentucky a couple weeks ago and met Jay Morrison, Mr. Real Estate, and real powerful stuff, learning the power of economics and how it could build our community. So we've, or at least I have started
a wealth building group at the University of Maryland, just teaching some students who are open to the idea of building wealth, understanding that financial literacy is our way out. So just looking to see how much more I can contribute and share whatever I've learned through my books and readings, teaching, passing on everything I've learned about financial literacy and wealth building. Currently putting all the lessons and knowledge in action through a home-based business that we run, teaching brothers and sisters or anybody how to profit off of cell phone service and telecom and energy. So that's been very powerful because, you know, a lot of our people are stuck thinking that money is bad or money is evil or don't understand the power of money. And especially when it comes to home-based business, the network marketing model, a lot of skepticism, cynicism, and negativity has kept a lot of people from making a move. But educating people and making people aware, breaking that down, has been very, very powerful. So, you know, it's just between general wealth building and exposing people to different ideas of making money, home-based business, online business, Amazon, eBay, all that, you know, I'm just going to contribute whatever knowledge and wisdom I've gained to the group however I can.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left, so we can round this up. If any of the first-time callers, if there is anything that you want to comment on, you know, we would love to get your feedback about, you know, what you think of these calls. Hold on, we have a member here. Caller from 919-971 area code. Can we get your first name, please? Caller from 919-971, your first name, please. Okay, caller. If we can't get your first name, we're going to have to drop you from the call. Hey, well, the call is about to be over. I don't know how long the call has been there. Hello? Okay. So, so they are gone. So anyone else that's a first-time caller, if you want to give us some feedback, let us know what you think about your first, town hall meeting. We would love to get some feedback. If there are some areas that you think we should address or areas for improvement, we would love to hear that as well. You can press star 6 in the queue. And if not, then we are going to wrap this one up tonight. Okay, Brother Rodney. Yes, brother. Hello, brother?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
All right. I don't have a question, but one of the things I want to let people know is we do have a problem with in the community with homeownership. And it's a lot of programs that's out here that you can apply for a home. You can get a first-time home buyer's program. You can get into an FHA loan. But the problem is one of the things we don't understand is you have to be responsible in making the bill payments, making a mortgage payment. But how you can test yourself on how you make a mortgage payment is when you're in an apartment. Apartment is like you making a mortgage payment. If you don't pay your rent and you go get a home and you miss a rent payment, an apartment is different. They're going to kick you out. Well, a home is different. If you get into a home and if you have a problem with paying your mortgage, you can talk to your local mortgage company. And if you have, like, if you lose your job or anything like that, they can help you with your mortgage payment and see how well you can see whether they can lower your mortgage payment and help you get out of, you know, financial debt. But a lot of black folks, we just don't have the mindset to go out here and apply and try to get into a home. Now, apartments are going up much faster than a home. The average apartment here in Atlanta is about $1,500 to $1,600 a month. Well, a home here, we closed in our house, and we paying $1,300 a month for a house. So I've encouraged a lot of black folks to try to get into a home, but you got to be responsible. Again, you got to be responsible to pay your mortgage. You first, if you're in an apartment, you know, you miss a rent payment, they're going to kick you out. Same thing with a mortgage. If you miss a mortgage payment, you can work with your mortgage company, but if you ignore the call, they're going to foreclose you on your home. So, and I encourage a lot of black folks, you know, try to apply for a home. Don't sit in an apartment. Just apply for a home and see can you get a home and, hey, you know, you can get into rental property. You know, there's a lot of homes out here up for rent. You know, go to the banks and apply for foreclosure homes, anything that can help you, you know. So I'm just throwing it out here to you, you know, for black folks to get out here and start applying for homes. We need more home ownership. My first home, we closed in 1998. And our second home, we closed in 2011. And the home here in Atlanta, we just closed on that in 2017. So I own three homes now, okay? And I'm responsible for making my bill payments. So that's one of the main things I wanted to let our people know, you know, kind of encourage you to get homes. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing that, brother.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Brother Lawrence.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother.
Hey, I just want to say I really like what you're doing, and I think like some other gentlemen have and ladies have already said on the call, just encourage you to keep going forward, keep pressing on. I know you're going to have doubters. I've heard some of that on the call, and from my perspective, as I listen to what you're doing, it's a way, and it's one way, and there are going to be other fantastic ideas on ways that that we as a community can come together and empower ourselves in economics, politics, and society in general. I'm from the Atlanta area, and so for the ambassadorship program, whoever is heading that up, I'd like to find out more about the program. And what's being done in Atlanta. I'm not looking personally I'll say this. I would like to find out more about Black Wallets overall and whatever is happening in Atlanta. If it's positive, I would like to, through my time and through finances, be able to contribute to those efforts. I'm sure there's some great ideas in Atlanta and as it is in all the other cities. But continue to press on. I really like what you're doing, and I just want to keep you encouraged and moving forward with your vision.
Okay. Are you currently a member, brother?
No, I'm not. I will join. This is the second time that I'd called in a few weeks ago and had not been able to call back in. But definitely, just the fact that the vision you have and what you're trying to do, I'm definitely going to join. No problem with that.
Okay, excellent. So we'll have, when we have the call, when we talk about this in depth, then you'll be able to network with the people who are in your area and, you know, figure this, some of the things out. It's like I said, we have a guideline. It's taken us some time to put it together. We worked really hard on it. We got a lot of feedback from members, so we tried to anticipate a lot of questions. There's also the like you said, you don't necessarily have to become an officer or a person on the administrative board, but you can still become an ambassador as a founding member, and then you can find the people who would actually be part of the board. So you don't necessarily have to be a board member to be part of that chapter, because that would be where you would go just to support your fellow brothers and sisters and bring in other people and recruit them and let them know, hey, listen, this is what I'm a part of. This is what we're doing. And, you know, we have some great things planned. So thank you for your words of encouragement and acknowledgement, brother.
You're welcome.
All right. Sister Kim. Hello?
Yes.
excuse me. I just wanted to ask right quick, do you suggest or is there any black-owned banks or that you would suggest or that Black Wallets Matter affiliates with? Because that's a lot of my problem. I don't trust these banks. And my mom gets upset because I'll give her the money, you know, to go through her credit union to pay for stuff. So I'm kind of choice about that. I don't like having those little debit cards and stuff that you're basically giving this money away. You're charging me to use my card. You're charging me to maintain it. And it's not going to help my community. You know what I mean? So that was one of the questions that I had on my mind.
No, we do not endorse any of the specific Black banks. We've had that conversation a few times on the call, but the bottom line is there are no Black banks that are entirely owned by Black people. There are no Black banks that are opted out of the system if they have FDIC insurance. So there's really no way to opt out of the system. So,
right.
If you're concerned in terms of if you're saying you want to become a member, but you don't want to.
That's the problem, you know, and that's like a problem for a lot of us, you know.
We have a mailing address, so you can.
Oh, okay.
So we have a mailing address, and you can send in. So we have members that do that. So, so there's no problem. Then there's also prepaid cards. So there's ways to take care of those things. Send me an email and let me know what your intentions are.
All right. Thanks.
Yep. Okay. So, brothers and sisters, that concludes this call. I want to thank you all for hanging out with us for this 2 hours. Once again, before you go, I want to again invite anyone on the call who's not yet a member. If you are interested in what Black Wallets Matter is doing, if you are interested in, becoming a part of your local chapter or anything like that, again, we want to invite you to become a association member. You can become a member at the silver level for $10 a month. You can become a gold member at $25 a month, or you can become a platinum member at $50 a month. If you want, at the very least, look for us on Facebook at Black Wallets Matter. Scroll through our page, like something, share something. There's bound to be something on there that resonates with you. And that's pretty much all that I want to share. Thank you, guys, and good night.
Good night.
Yes. Thank you.